Radio.
Wow.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of His. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My face is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven, my road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be fucked, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversaries, negotiate at the table of my enemy or ponder at the pool of popularity. Give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, poured up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello.
It's good to have you with us.
Yes, it is. So, I was talking to everyone the other day about different visions and things Catherine I have for this ministry and jobs that people could get involved with helping with. And I was going to put that on our website, and I'm still going to, so that people know what things are available to do so that you can actually look and see what things are of interest to you, because I know it's hard to say you want to help somebody with something when you don't really know what's available and what things are up your alley. Well, we have one thing we'd really love to do is to have podcasts made for the program, and we don't know how to do that, so we were looking for techies out there that would be interested in doing that. Or know anything about doing it, what all that would involve. So that's something. If you're interested in any of these things I mentioned, definitely private message Pastor or email him. There's about three different processes with editing videos that we would like to be able to do. We want to do some outreaches with the veterans, the hometown warrior page, is a page that Pastor sponsors for veterans. And we want to do some outreach work with them and also with truck drivers, any of the truck stops near anybody's area. You can reach out to them. We'd like to make up some packets and things to be able to hand to them so that they have something tangible in their hands, because it definitely can start a new process in their lives.
And be a blessing to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're on the road and they can't get to church.
Yeah.
Because as a truck driver, I was a truck driver over the road. And on almost every single church parking lot is a sign. No semis.
Yeah.
And because the weight tears up the parking lot and can't turn them around effectively. You know, it's just the whole story. But the idea is it's a simple, simple way to be a really severe blessing.
Yeah.
To be a very severe blessing. Anyways, that's just another one of those things. Thank you, Sister Leanne, for sharing that with everybody so effectively. We are now ready to go live. Tonight's message is, the greatest of these is, sure glad you got that.
Yeah. It was.
Wait. Just want everybody to know she actually just made her own confession. I am not paying attention. I saw it, you know.
I was working on stuff.
I was working on stuff. Hallelujah. And so am I, working on stuff. All right, there we go. We're live. We even got us a notification. And I will just try it out once. What was that all about?
Mm-hmm.
So
everybody knows she actually did.
All right, then you got some live over there.
Yeah.
All right.
I will just try it out.
What? I'm gonna find you in here.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Right. Hallelujah!
Got some live over there.
Isn't that something?
All right.
Here. It's my phone. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that something? I can't tell whether I'm live or not.
Yeah, I see you.
Yeah? Ash is here. Phyllis Kim Raymond's here.
Wow.
Roger Oxy's here. Isn't that something?
What?
Velma Osborne Welch is here. Isn't that just something? Julie Rouse is here. Welcome, guys. Becca Chapman's here. Hey, the whole crowd's coming tonight. Amen. Wait, we're not a crowd. The whole body is coming tonight. Thank God for the body of Christ. Thank you, Ashley. Wait, let's just start all over again. Loretta Perot is here. Phyllis K. Raymond tonight is going to be doing the singing.
Hallelujah.
Phyllis K. Raymond, please come forward and sing the opening special, When the Saints Come Marching In.
Go, Phyllis.
Welcome, 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 welcome. It's really something. That's why I had that look on my face, like, really? Because I can't see anything. I can't see how many numbers are on. I have no video. It
really?
Says, sorry, this video is not playing. But the video is playing. And here we go. Velma Osborne Welch, welcome, welcome, welcome. Yeah. Julie Rouse, welcome. Loretta Perot, Audrey Van Gessel. You are a prayer warrior, Audrey Van Gessel.
Yes,
welcome, welcome. And we did have rain. We've had rain sort of a little bit for 2 days now. Should we know what part of the body I am? Listen, I have asked that same question over and over. Is there like, you know, you ever taken the personality test to find out whether you're a sanguine or a Petrimonica or whatever them other things are? I wonder if there's one of those to find out what part of the body you are. Well, son, you are the nose hair. Oh, I'm glad I got to be that.
It's an important part.
You are the mole on the back of the neck. Oh.
See, that's just a
part. No, come on. I've been around the kingdom a lot of years, Audrey, but I've never heard of a test of which part of the body you are. Mm-hmm. I think the important part about that is jump in and be a part of the body, and then pretty soon everybody will see what you are. Just as long as you're not the gossiper.
Yeah.
Well, welcome. So, Ash, where are you from? Is it actually Maryland that you're from, Ashley? Loretta Perot is with us from the wonderful city of Coal Man, Michigan. We call you blessed, ma'am. It's good to see you. How are you doing in your body? We call it healed in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Julie Rouse, God bless you. I did not get a call into Ray. Ray did not call me. I don't think it should be taken personal, though.
Yep, you're alive.
Anyways, hallelujah. Love you, Ray, if you're listening. And Kai, bless you, young lady. We'll be back in Michigan soon. We'll have a baptismal service for you. All right. Now, let's see. No, I'm from West Virginia. Well, that's a good place to be from. The one guy said, away from. Oh, that's a good deal. I got you. I was just getting ready to say, Maryland, I have quite a few memories of Glen Burnie, Maryland. That's where we almost drowned the pianist swimming that one day.
Oh,
Moo Child is my daughter, Katie, Will, Jack, and Jack Mama. And Jake is with me. Come on. Oh, is my daughter, Katie, Will, Jack. Oh, Jake and Jack's mom. All right, I got you. I got it. I got the picture.
So good to see you here again, Loretta. Love it.
Roger Oxy and two other people are waiting, or no, are watching. Brother Roger, wow, come on, just work, okay? I command you in the name of Jesus to work. Bella Welch, we love you. Teresa Dowd, we welcome you. We got some folks here. Come baptize me, please. Well, here's the deal how that works. If I can't get you soon enough, I might send Brother Mike or somebody else, but we'll get you baptized. I haven't been to West Virginia in a long time. And I'm sure there's a lot of good places to baptize in West Virginia. When I was living in Kentucky, we always sang the song, "They baptized Jesse Taylor in Cedar Creek last Sunday." Well, I used to know the whole song. I haven't sang it in way too long. Somebody sing it. They baptized Jesse Taylor, all right?
I am ready for YouTube. Whenever you want to put it up, or is it already up?
No, it's not yet. I don't have the ability to edit very good. Joy, Mikey, Claire says hi, and we love you. We love you guys. Joy and Mikey and Claire, bless you. How many more days of school you got, Mikey? Everybody ought to be getting done pretty soon. You know, we're getting ready to have a bunch of pictures. Everybody take some pictures of your family and put it up on the Facebook page so that we can, yeah, maybe we won't do that. That's always a good thought, but might not be a good idea anymore. I will now have a long conversation with my, school's out already. Wow. That's pretty cool. I'll bet you're glad about that, Mikey. At least I was. I was always glad to get out of school. I figure I would have been done with school. I'd have been done with all 12 grades if they would have let me and inspired me when I was about 12 years old. I was one of the last baptized at Cavendish Bridge on Mill Creek in Fayetteville, West Virginia. And that was years ago. Wow, that's pretty cool. My dad always baptized in the Rifle River. If you ever, those of you from Michigan, ever in West Branch, Peter's Road Bridge and the Rifle River. There was a nice deep hole there. And that's where he liked to baptize people. And, of course, Sunday afternoon, there was always a bunch of rowdy, drunk canoers coming through. And if they happened in the river just right, and they saw my dad grab that person and dunk him under the water, then you could always hear him say, "Whoa, did you see that?" You can always tell who's just the straight-up heathens, all right? Hey, Roger Oxy, welcome. Howdy to you, brother. It's good to have you with us. Now, let me say this real quick to everybody while we're getting ourselves ready here. Those of you that received two messages from me at the noon prayer time about the noon program, it was not because I'm trying to spam you and trying to get you to come on, please come on, please come on, please come on, all right? Because I'm never going to be that way with you. Some of you, I send you a link regularly so that you can have it. That's cool, Roger. Thank you, man. I like to do it, but here's the deal. We were having trouble at the noon prayer today of knowing how to get people connected, and there was people trying to be connected that never did get connected.
Right.
And so I sent another request out just to see if I would get a response from any of you, trying to give us an idea of who all was able to see it. And so I'm not ever going to spam you. If you don't ever want me to send you another invitation like that, then just shoot me a message and I'll be sure not to send it to you, because I'm never trying to spam you. It's just like tonight right now. It says I'm not streaming with you, but it's all right. I know I am. And thank God for the wisdom that he's given us of how to make this all come together effectively. Amen.
Amen.
Now, this community of faith is known as a healing room. And so as you can see, Sister Teresa Dowd has showed up and asked us to pray for her family. So let's pray for this right now. Hallelujah. The heart murmur and the thymus gland is large, but should grow out of it by 6 to 9 months. All right. Hallelujah. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, we declare over our sister, this child, that this granddaughter, that she grows out of it now.
Amen.
Heart, be normal. Yes. Thymus gland, be normal. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say it with me. A perfect baby.
Perfect baby.
In a perfect womb.
Perfect womb.
Made by a perfect God. And a perfect delivery. She'll have a perfect life. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I say it right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I say our dear friends, Les and Debbie, thank you, Father, that their kidneys function properly.
Amen.
And that spirit of infirmity is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Brother Robert said, Roger said, I only have a picture of 1/3 of my grandchildren. How do I remember the canoes there? Oh, I got what you're saying. The canoes on the Rifle River. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Hold on just a second. There we go. Perfect baby in a perfect womb made by a perfect God. And a perfect delivery, she'll have a perfect life.
Amen.
Speak that, every one of you, speak that over your children. Because the womb, for those of you that are women, the womb is God's perfect growing place. It's his greatest place of perfection for that child. And that baby grows inside that womb and develops. And that's God's perfect place, perfect environment. You might say, Pastor, I didn't necessarily have a perfect delivery. Are they here and alive? Then start speaking about perfect delivery and perfection in your own body.
Yeah.
Let's just say it right now over every one of you women. You want to do it? I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that no matter what happened in your pregnancies, your body completely and totally recovers from it.
Amen.
Amen. I declare all your organs function properly. I declare your body functions properly. And all the extra weight goes away. In the name of Jesus, by the word of God, according to his mighty powerful strength. And you have great, healthy, strong bodies in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Speak it over yourself. Speak it over your daughters. Speak it over your granddaughters. Why? Because our God is looking for somebody to speak faith. And I encourage you to be the one to speak faith over your family. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Welcome, YouTubers. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We're going to have another great night tonight. Last night, we had a night, if you saw the title and it looked like we were talking about how to live above a fence, well, last night we talked about how to take dominion on the earth over the weather. And then today, we moved the storms. Storms went west out into Texas. And I don't know, Sister Phyllis Raymond, if it's still raining there, you let us know. We're coming against that again. Because there's too much land and too many areas where they need rain to have you be flooded out. That is not the will of God in any sense of the word. And that's what we were learning last night while we were here. I really want to teach everyone that's with us, including our children that's with us. I want you to learn now, when you see a bad storm coming, don't run and hide. Point your finger at that and take dominion over it, according to Genesis chapter 1. Why? Because there ain't no reason to run afraid of a storm.
Amen.
I know a tornado is horrible. If you've never seen one, don't ever hope for it, because it is not a fun situation. I saw one time. It was about a mile away from us, I guess a mile and a half, and it hit a junkyard, and it looked like somebody took a whole handful of matchbox cars and threw them in the air. That's bad. But you know what's worse? All of us in the car wasn't pointing our finger at that tornado, binding it, saying, you don't get to drop out of the sky. Whenever they start saying tornadoes, you start saying, I bind it.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Whenever they start saying flood, you say, I bind it. Whenever they start saying any natural disaster that it's just coming and there's nothing you can do about it, bind their words, bind the foolishness of their words, and loose the angels of Almighty God to do the work that God needs to have done in Jesus' mighty name. Sunday guys is with us. Bless you, Sunday. Over there on the YouTube line, we call you guys blessed in Jesus' mighty name. I mean, even, you know, when it gets to be winter and everybody wants some snow, nothing wrong with snow. That's just the normal part of winter where we live. But a blizzard that kills people, that ain't God. But I'm not reteaching that message. Go back and listen to last night's, and we'll be there, and it'll be a blessing to you. Are you ready? Let's rise and honor the, make our Pledge of Allegiance, honor the troops, and we'll get right into this. In the mighty name of Jesus, tonight's title is The Greatest of These is Love. That's where we're going, in Jesus' name. Render your honor. Let's make our Pledge of Allegiance. A Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now we'll have a moment of silence where we remember those who are missing in action, those who paid the last full measure of devotion, those who on this day of battle may have become wounded in their spirit, their soul, or their body, and in honor of those who have faithfully served all throughout the history of the United States. This moment of silence will last for 21 seconds in honor of the 21 rifle volleys that are fired at the funeral of a fallen soldier. This moment of silence begins now. And now, if you will, sing with me, God Bless America. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above, from the mountain to the prairie, to the ocean, white with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet home. Now, let's pray for the United States of America. God and Father of every brave warrior and every great patriot down through American history, including right here, right now, tonight, in this gathering of believers known as the Body of Christ, the Community of Faith. We bless your holy and mighty and awesome and wonderful name. We give you glory and we give you honor and we give you the praise. Thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty, 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 mighty work through this gathering of believers, this body of Christ. And we glory in that today. And we thank you that you've promised that where we dwell together in unity, the commanded blessing of the Lord comes upon us. Right here, right now, tonight, we lift our hands and we say, I receive the commanded blessing of the Lord in my life in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for it, Lord. Now, Father, we reach up into heaven today. We reach up into the great cloud of witnesses. We reach up into the prayer of agreement of everyone that's praying for America right here, right now, at this very moment, around this nation and the world. And we declare, God bless America. Forgive us of our sin, Lord, and heal our land. We seek your face. We truly seek your face. This body of believers, seek your face. We want to know you more, Lord. We want to know you more and more every day. Thank you, Father, that you, through Jesus, you said that we get to be one with you, and you welcome us into a relationship of oneness. And we receive it. We love it. We enjoy it. We walk in it, and we thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, Father, all across this nation, every pastor, every prophet, every apostle, evangelist, teacher, every member of the body of Christ, everyone that operates in a specific gift of the Spirit, every one of us in our special place in the body, we glorify your name that we have a place. And Lord, we say, reveal to us, reveal to the body of Christ their place in this kingdom, and so they can function in it and bless their body of Christ they belong to, bless their community, and see the United States of America strengthened and established in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I bless every one of these families that's here. Becca and Ashley, we bless them tonight. We bless Velma and Joy and Mikey and Claire, that wonderful family, all being there together at the same time. Teresa Dowd, our brother Roger Oxy, we bless them tonight. We bless Wilma and Jim, Mike and Shannon, Dave and Gwen, Dan and Gwen. We bless them, Lord. In your mighty name, we declare Sister Phyllis K. Raymond, Loretta Perot, we bless these people. Audrey Van Gessel, Julie and Ray and Kai, we bless them, Lord. Thank you that our brothers and sisters have gathered together in great faith with us. And we see tonight the answers from Almighty God in every single one of our lives. We give you glory for it, Lord. And we thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are the same. Thank you all across America tonight, wherever the manifest presence of God needs to be, we declare the power of God is there in great force. Everybody say this. Thank you, Lord, for the angels that are with me. Everywhere I go. Just point at your own place. Say, right here in my house.
Right here in my house.
Right here in my city. In this state that I live. Making the difference in this place. in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Now, you know where your hospital is from you. Point in that direction. And just say this. Say, I declare over our hospital.
I declare over our hospital.
No more COVID.
No more
COVID. COVID dry up in my county.
COVID dry up in our county.
And in our region.
And in our region.
So we are free from all of this wicked, wicked, stupid health stuff. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. May doctors and hospitals and health organizations come out against it and make a shame of these stupid people that are making stupid laws and stupid rules in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, may everyone that needs a vaccination, may everyone, once it's a true vaccination, may everyone that needs to wear a mask, wear one. And bless this great nation to truly be free every single day of our life. The freedom that these brave men and women who have served provided us to have. We give you glory and honor and praise for it. Say this with me. Deliver me, Lord.
Deliver me, Lord.
Deliver the United States of America.
Deliver the United States of America.
From foolish and wicked people.
From foolish and wicked people.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless our police officers. Bless the sheriff department. Bless our local city police. Bless the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines. Every one of our peacekeepers right now tonight, we bless them to be strong, wise, and not corrupt in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, let's pray for Loretta.
And Teresa also after the same prayer.
And Teresa. All right, we can only pin one, so we'll pray, in the mouth of three witnesses, it's established. We'll pray. There we go. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, we speak over Loretta and Teresa so they can put those cigarettes down and never pick them back up again. Thank you,
Amen.
Becca. That's a good prayer. Now, everybody, let's get our... Raise your hands toward the screen just like this and speak this as if we were laying hands on our sisters.
Yeah.
All right. Now, they're a long ways away from you, maybe. But this is what we say. We say, spirit of addiction.
Spirit of addiction.
Your power is broken.
Your power is broken.
And any form of, what do you call it? Nicotine. And the power of nicotine. Your power is broken. And they no longer need it in their life. We bless our sisters in the name of Jesus. And anybody else that's got to get free. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Loretta and Teresa, thank you for being bold and saying, I need to be free. All right? Now, here's the thing about cigarettes. This is the most important thing to remember about cigarettes. It's usually a habit you pick up. And nobody even knows why. To be cool, that's when you're a teenager. Nobody in their right mind knows why we pick up the habit and just decide to light a fire on the end of a dollar bill. And there's nobody in their right mind knows why we do that. However, there we go. So this is what I want to say to you. My pastor, Dr. Mark T. Barkley, said he would light that cigarette up because he was smoking two packs a day when he quit. He'd light the cigarette up, and he would say, in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, this is the last one ever. No condemnation. His pastor taught him to say that. I think it's one of the wisest pastors I've ever heard. You might say, well, pastor, why would you do that? Because willpower won't beat cigarettes. But the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus will totally beat cigarettes, alcohol, drugs, prescription drugs, or any other bondage that you might have in your life. Thank God for a strong willpower. But if you can't even beat chocolate or Dairy Queen, you might not beat something that's got a really strong pull on you. Amen. So we just say it again. There's no condemnation from any of us. We stand in faith with you, and we declare right now, every person who is trying, who is everything in them beating an addiction, we declare it done tonight, and this is the last night you'll ever need it.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Stand in agreement. We stand in agreement. But say it with me. I need the power of God, not just my willpower. Your human willpower can change because, who knows, that can be connected to something in your life that is a point of weakness. And what you need is strength. Well, strength comes from the presence of God. And I encourage you to make the most important relationship in your life the relationship with you and the Father, and understanding the righteousness of God. Why? Because as soon as you understand the righteousness of God in your life, you're not ever going to have that same those same bondages another day. Because God ain't into bondages. And if you don't like my English, I'll say it a different way. God ain't into bondage.
God is into free and delivered.
God is into free, and he's into delivered. And that's what he wants for you right here, right now. Not only tonight, but every night of your life in Jesus' mighty name. Hey, wait. Some people have to get delivered from all kinds of things. All right? The most important thing you can do is realize he's not going to condemn you. Be strong in the fact that the condemnation is broken. Amen. And then make sure you receive communion every day. When we start to have communion, go all the way to the end. Don't just walk away from it saying, well, I've already done that 5 times this week. No, it's not about 5 times this week. It's about I am taking the blood of Jesus to my daily life. I have been a believer since I was 12 years old. That is 46 years ago. I need the power of God, the blood of Jesus, and his broken body in my life more today than I have ever needed it. It's not a crutch you stand on. It's the very foundation of your very life.
Yeah,
and the mighty name.
Do the communion and say, by the blood of Jesus, I overcome, add smoking, add that word smoking in there.
Right, right. And it's just a habit. You'll get over it.
Yeah.
As soon as you get your mouth working with the word of God saying, there ain't no addiction that'll ever control me. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Once you build the revelation word, and it's coming out of your mouth, now our prayer has something to stick to down on the inside of you.
Yeah.
And that's what makes that thing break off of you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You know, this is one of them subjects that when you say the word, people duck and run and everything. But pornography is one of those things in this day that has huge strength on people.
Yeah.
And some of these shows that are just, there's no value to them. I won't start naming them. I don't want to make anybody mad, but the only thing that is, really, seriously, is some form of worship in your life that is not to God. Because if you have the true worship to God and the understanding of his righteousness, you will never be a part of that stuff. It won't matter what it is, and you don't need no preacher standing there saying, why are you doing it? Why? Because you're living in the righteousness of God. And that righteousness on the inside of you, you say it.
Well,
but Tony, welcome. the righteousness of God on the inside of you produces all of the resistance to that stuff. And when it does, you just function in that righteousness. And, you know, that's why I give you these prayer confessions or these confession about different things in the kingdom. Why? Because the more you say that word down in here, then when we pray prayer, there's something for that prayer to stick to. It's like Velcro, you know. When you put the word in your heart, it's like you're putting the one side of Velcro in. And then when you say, pray for me, we pray, the other side of Velcro hit, and it's called faith and patience. Bam, that thing produces a miracle in your life, like right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, and thank God for that miracle. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty, awesome, wonderful name. So, where are we at? I'm just kind of surveying everything, making sure everything's all right in the right place where it belongs. Looking around, see, I got my notes right there. Yeah, they're doing good. Yeah, there's some right there on the page. Amen. And glad to have all you with us. Brother Dan, where you at tonight? Bless you, man. Good to have you, Sister Wilma. I think Evelyn Robinson's with us.
Hello.
Rebecca Smith is with us. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, we love you. And we speak peace in your house right here, right now, today. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We speak health and strength to our dear sister, Evelyn Robinson. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak life to you, Evelyn. We declare all your joints, all your blood, your marrow, all your organs function properly. With long, full life, he satisfies you, and he shows you his salvation every day, every single day, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. You know, Brother Roger, I appreciate you saying that. Everybody pray this with me. I speak over everyone in the military.
I speak over everyone in the military.
All of our veterans.
All of our veterans.
Who started smoking during war.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Say this with me. All of the trauma.
All of the trauma.
Connected to that process.
Connected to that process.
We release them from that.
Yes, we release them from that.
And they get to enjoy a life full of health and strength in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And amen and amen. Well, let's get to the word. We might as well get going. I want you to go again tonight. Monica Lynch, thank you for being with us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight we're going to be once again in 1 Corinthians chapter 17 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We are actually going to read 1 Corinthians 13 tonight.
Are you sure?
We've been swinging at that for a whole week now, and we're going to actually get it done. So grab your Bibles, open up to 1 Corinthians 13. That's where we're going first. Because I'm going to read this tonight, no matter what. We're going to read the whole chapter, all 13 verses. And then we're going to get started. You ready? Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I believe what it says.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I go do what it tells me to do.
I go do what it tells me to do.
Today I will be taught.
Today I will be taught.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And it is changing my life.
And it is changing my life.
Because that's what it's designed to do.
Because that's what it's designed to
do. I receive it as a seed.
I receive it as a seed.
That is producing a hundredfold and more.
That is producing a hundredfold and more.
In my life.
In my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and let's begin reading at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, but I do not have love, I am become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move all the mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. That's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
What I would like for somebody to do, I don't have the translation. If somebody has the Passion Translation, you would look up these 13 verses and copy and paste them. I would appreciate that. I don't know. You know, I don't know if I've seen it in Eastward or not. But if somebody can do that, all in one, you know, one thread, one text, one post. I would like to read this in the Passion Translation also. So here we go. I'm in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. Love is not easily provoked, and love thinks no evil. Verse 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. Now, I know in your translation, it doesn't put the word love in there in all those places where there's a comma. It's an assumed subject. But here's the thing. I put it there for the emphasis so that you and I can hear what the Apostle Paul is teaching us. Verse 8, where there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became an adult, a mature being, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. Verse 13. And now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians 13 is sandwiched in between 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14. Did you get that major revelation?
We did.
Somebody just type in, wow. But wait, let's say it different. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is sandwiched in between the gifts of the Spirit and the manifestation of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit. It's sandwiched in between the body of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. So the body of Christ, which is chapter 12, am I saying that right? Yeah. The body of Christ, which is chapter 12, it cannot be effective without chapter 13 of love. The body of Christ functioning in love will always flow in the Spirit, and chapter 14 is this chapter on how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Pretty powerful, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is.
I'll say it again. You cannot be in your perfect place in the body, flowing in the Spirit, without first having to figure out how to be in love and walk in love. Now, did Sister Wilma get the... Oh, no, that was just a reference point. I thought maybe that was... Evelyn, prayers for ones that addicted to cigarette. I smoked for 50 years.
Wow.
Quit March 2nd, but was too late. I now have small cell carcinoma, lung, and liver cancer. Please don't start if you don't smoke. If you do smoke, trust God. He'll help you. Just lay it at the foot of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. And we say to whatever that carcinoma stuff is, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Get off of our dear sister so that she is free. And according to Joel chapter 2, verse 26 and 27, he restores the years the locusts have eaten, because my people will never be put to shame.
Amen.
Say it with me. He's restoring my years.
Restoring my years.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going down to verse number 6. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in wrong. It doesn't rejoice when somebody sins or wink at it. It doesn't. Love rejoices in the truth. Why? Because the very force of love, the very power of love is in the Word of God. Now, if you'll remember the other day, we were talking about how we overcome the power of offense when somebody's running their mouth or doing wrong against us. Remember that offense and somebody speaking loosely with their lips, it's never about that other person. Your life is about you guarding your heart so that you don't start speaking against them.
Yes.
Say this with me. I can't make you love me, but you can't stop me from loving you. Well, I would never try. You can't stop me either.
And I will never try.
See, love rejoices in the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. Now, do you know sometimes it's how you speak the truth of whether or not somebody gets to receive it from you? Because you walk in the room and say, you're so dumb, stupid, and ignorant. And they might be, but that's probably not going to be received. Right? Wait. When you're trying to reconcile with people that have a problem with you, you can't do it through gritted teeth and yelling, screaming, and hollering, no matter how much you're Irish, German, or English bullheaded, or whatever you've ever claimed to be in Italian. It doesn't matter. None of those are a protection for anger, yelling, screaming, and hollering. It's okay if it gets real, a little bit of quiet, because quiet is good. It helps us think a little bit. Say it with me. It's never about the other person. It's always about what I'm doing in my life. You ready? We're going back to verse number 7 now. 1 Corinthians 13:7. Watch this. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Now, that doesn't mean you believe every stupid moron out here giving you some kind of false doctrine from some goofy guy sitting on the top of a mountain humming. That's not what this is about. Love believes in the person that's standing in front of them that you're trying to help.
Yeah.
Love hopes all things. You can live without water for a number of days. You live without food for a number of days, but you can't live without hope, because you got to have hope. You got to have that force down on the inside of you that looks at the clock and says, well, even though today may not have been a good day, tomorrow's going to be a better day. And I know whom I have believed in, and his name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Amen. Think about it. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Look at this. Endures all things. Love never fails. Now, here we go with part number 4 of how to live free from offense. Because there's a bunch of you that just said, hold up, Pastor, the other night you said we didn't have to live with somebody beating on us, you know? You don't. Let's make these verses balanced the right way. All right? Uh-huh. Love bears all things, but that's not somebody beating on you. Amen?
Amen.
That ain't there. Whether you're a man or a woman, stop the beating. Can't do it. Stop the verbal abuse. You can't do it. You've got to look at yourself and say, I got to change me.
Amen.
Amen. Say it with me. I got to change me. No matter what anybody else is doing, I have to change me. See, love will confront and will help and will strengthen all the way through to victory. Our sisters just said, pray for me to be able to quit smoking. Well, we will. We're going to stay with you all the way through to the end. I've had people share all kinds of stuff with me since we started doing this through email and instant message and different things about things in their life. I'll never tell them to anybody. I don't even tell them to Leanne. Why would I do that? You share it with me as a pastor? I'm not going to do that.
Right.
If you share it with us as a pastor and his wife, then we're going to go to war on it together, and we're going to take it and before the throne of God and see things change. I have to change me no matter what anybody else is doing. You know, write this down. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. Make sure you write it down. I'll say it again. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. Because if you're not going to be teachable, you're not going to be able to function in love, because in order for you to function in love, you're going to have a spirit that says, well, wait a minute. I may not understand what you're in right now, but I do know this. I love you, and I'm going to help you win. And that means I'm going to have to learn to grow and develop who I am. A minister of reconciliation is never going to stand there and take a person lying, screaming, hollering, yelling, puking on them, and calling them all kinds of bad names. You don't have to do that. Wait, stop. I love you, and I believe in you, and I'm going to help you clear to the end. But we're going to get it back down on the right level. Let's sit here and talk as two people who love one another. Why? Because you got faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of faith and hope and love, the faith greatest, woo, now abides faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. The number one characteristic of a successful Christian is a teachable spirit. Someone that says, Jesus, show me how I can grow and develop in my life past this point where I've always stopped. Have you ever had one of those places that you go to a church, you get with a group of believers, and you grow and grow and grow and grow, and then all of a sudden it's like somebody's got the Jake brake and the emergency brake and the front brake and the back brake and the transmission brake, and they got all the brakes pulled at the same time, and all of a sudden you come skidding to a stop and say, why can't I grow past this? Because there's something on the inside of you that's sticking right there in your life. And what does that mean you need to do? That means you need to say, Lord, what's up inside of me so I can change and love those people? Now, I want to say it one more time. I got three powerful statements right in a row. It doesn't matter how many times you apologize to someone. You cannot apologize anyone into salvation or into changing their life. No matter how many times you apologize, you cannot apologize someone into deliverance. Okay, I just let it soak in a little bit. Some of these statements, you got to let them get down below the gray matter. Everybody just shake. You know how when the dog gets up, they kind of shake, or the cat? Just do it. Shake a little bit. Got to get that down inside of you. Think about it. How many times have you been with somebody that's got a really bad problem, abusive situation going on inside of themselves, and they're always saying, you're the one that's wrong. It's all your fault. If you wouldn't do that, and you wouldn't do this, and you wouldn't do that, and you try to apologize your way into an answer. That does not work. Thank you, Wilma Tony. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. The teachable spirit. It is a person who says, I want to know everything I can know. You ready? Yeah. About me. Say, Lord, help me.
Lord, help me.
Just go ahead and say it. Lord, help me. Because see, no matter who's doing what in your life, wherever, Shannon helped you. That's awesome. That's awesome. You cannot apologize your way into a great relationship. You've got to have two people who are saying, I'm going to work at this and change me. It doesn't matter if it's you and your sister, you and your brother, you and your mom, and you or your dad or whatever else. If you're going to have a great relationship, you both got to be willing to change. And you got to be willing to let the other person have the opportunity to change.
Yes. Good preaching.
Listen, I didn't get the finger, but I did get a high five point there that said, hallelujah. Hey, wait. Everybody say it with Becca. Lord, help me. Wait, guys, when we're dealing with this, the only person you can change in any offense situation is you. Nobody. I'm going to get real bold. You ready? Nobody can control you. And you might be like, you ain't seen Sister Bertha Bucketmouth over here and how much she controls me. I know better than to say something around her because Bertha Bucketmouth really going to make a mess every time you do. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If that means about Bertha Bucketmouth, you should probably put some distance between you and Bertha Bucketmouth.
Yes.
Huh? Larry Loose Lips. I'm sorry, Bertha and Larry, but I just had to have a name. I had to have a name that would rhyme. Larry Loose Lips, all right, and Bertha Bucketmouth. You know, there we go. Now, see, come on. We got to deal with ourselves. Wait. Did any of you ever experience this? However young you were with your first baby, I was, you know, I'm not saying this about me. I was 22 when my first baby was born. I was 22, didn't know nothing about it, didn't know what I'm doing. And that makes a big old, woo, Jesus, what are we doing? And people say things you shouldn't say. Don't do that. You had to learn how to be a parent, didn't you? My mom and dad, as wonderful as they are, they still had to learn how to be a parent. And guess what? They had to learn with me. Well, and my other crazy brothers and sisters, but I was an angel. They were all a mess.
Well, you were the third.
And watch, here comes mom. Hey, how you doing tonight, son? Are you telling the truth?
You come out and tell us.
Wait, I want you all to see that it's best to just admit it when you were wrong and you were being a little mouthy. So I admitted I was being wrong, a little mouthy. That way my mom don't have to show up and correct me. Now, I never wanted to be the one that had to go get the stick. You go get me a stick. Oh Jesus.
My goodness, yeah.
You never got one big enough, you know. You never got one that was right. Let's go back to our three statements again. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. I have to change me no matter what the other person is doing. You just have to change me. You have to, no, wait. Everybody's like, well, Pastor, we've been trying to change you for a while. No, there's nobody else you can change. Have you noticed that you can't make someone else do what they don't want to do?
Yeah.
You can't. I think it was Dale Carnegie that made the statement, he who is convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. How about it, ladies? Have you ever tried to help your husband come to an understanding of how ignorant he is? Wait.
No, because my husband is one.
That's a pretty big smiley face, Dan. I didn't see it till just now. That's probably when I was talking about my mom. I don't know if Dan was ever around when I got a whipping, but it wouldn't be surprising if he was, all right? And who knows? It doesn't work. Amen, Wilma. And you know what, Wilma? It don't work for us men trying to get you women to change either, does it? Brother Mike, I not only need a ladder and a shovel and some chocolates and roses, but I think I need a sky hook. Call me out of here with a helicopter, brother, real quick. See, that's why, really, probably the most important thing to ever learn about dealing with offense, dealing with other people, is that you got to quit looking at everybody else. And you just got to start looking at yourself. And just realize that there's nobody else that I can change except me. And here's the revelation. So you don't have to just live a life of apology every day, all day long, trying to apologize to somebody. Listen, that psychology has put all kinds of terminology on those you have to apologize to. And I'm not even going to use it. The bottom line, if you're living a life of apology to get somebody else to change, that's because the other person is sinning. That's not a psychological problem. It's a sin. And if you stop sinning against your brother and sister, guess what? All of this goes away, and you actually truly get to live in love. Well, Pastor, you just called that a sin. Yep, I did, because that's what Jesus called it. Did you notice Jesus never said, go to the local psychologist and they'll help you get free? No, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The lady didn't need 5 weeks of counseling to get free from the fact she'd had five husbands and she was with the one she was with wasn't her husband. She didn't need counseling. She said, Jesus said, you've had five, and the one you're with, oh, my Lord, you must be a prophet. Well, yeah, I am, and I'm the Christ, and neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now go tell everybody and get him back out here. And they did, and look what happened. She changed that whole region. Wait. Now, I don't do this too often. I don't do this too often. Probably the last time I did this, Rebecca will know, because she seems to be our oldest member. Old Brother Dan will probably know, too. But the last time I used this song was probably the last time we preached about offense. Right? But one of the best songs of the world about dealing with offense comes from none other than Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Because Michael Jackson said, if you want to make the world a better place, they better look in that mirror and make the change. Watch this. I'll even get the dog to bark on that. He didn't even move. He barely wiggled his ear.
He rolled his eyes at you.
Take a look at yourself and make that change. Because how do you change somebody else? I know some of you women think you can change us men, but better than you have tried.
I mean,
God himself is trying to cause us to change, but guess what? You're a woman. What do you mean you think you can change us? I hope you can hear the humor in my voice. I'm not in any way at all making fun of you or me or anybody else. Yeah, he's just sound asleep. Now, let's pause for a minute, and I want to go back. And I want to read that translation out of the Passion Translation that Sister Wilma posted a minute ago for us. Thank you so much, Wilma, for going and getting that for us. Really, 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 really appreciate that. Now, I'm going to pin it. And if you can't get it to move while you're pinning it, then just scroll back up in the comments until you see Sister Wilma, it says 1 Corinthians 13, open menu. So don't worry if you click on that. It's not like a portal opens up and you're out in space. But watch. Let's read this together. You ready? Read it right out loud. Learn to read the Bible right out loud. Ready? I'm almost there. Ready? 13:1. If I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongue of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Man, that's a powerful statement, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains but have not learned to love, then I am nothing. Verse 3. If I were to be so generous as to give everything away I owned to feed the poor and to offer my body to be burned as a martyr without the pure motive of love, I would gain nothing of value. Can you imagine offering your body to die as a martyr and then it has no value to you? You show up on the other side in heaven and God's like, what was that all about? And you just stand there stunned like, what? You made heaven, son. We got to be love motivated, guys. We've got to be love motivated. We've got to make sure what we're doing is in love. Verse 4. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Think about it. If you're one that's easily irritated, check your own heart to see why. Remember, anytime you see something out of order, it's not necessarily going to be that other person's problem. It more than likely is got a root in your own heart. All right? Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. I was helping somebody once, a man, and he did not know what was going on in his life. And when we got down to the edge of it, as we talked and just asked God to show us, it had something to do with his drill instructor in boot camp and what he said to him.
Really?
Yeah. Now, a drill instructor in boot camp has a tendency to mark your life forever. It's like the one guy I know down in, I think he's in North Carolina. He said he's in boot camp for Vietnam, and he said the biggest black man I ever saw in my life was screaming, hollering, and yelling. He said, and then he looked at me and said, my name is Jesus Christ, and your mom and your daddy. And he said, it just flew out of my mouth. I didn't know Jesus was black. Wait, nobody be offended at what I'm saying, all right? Let's just be real people here. But what that man was making declarations to those young men that are in training scared out of their mind, and that's supposed to, all of that is supposed to cause them to trust that man beyond anything. Well, you're being trained to do it in the military, and in the middle of combat, you got to be able to listen to your sergeant's voice and do exactly what he knows is the right thing to do. Amen? Now, what the brother said about that drill instructor, as he said, when we got in combat, I was with that man's unit. And he said, that man knew what he was talking about. And he said, I listened to every word he said. He saved his life. Now, why are you on that, Pastor? Well, love is not easily irritated. Let's try it again. Love is not easily irritated. And love doesn't put its last nerve out in the middle of the floor to see if someone will step on it. So that an explosion can happen and you feel better on the inside. I know I'm relating to several people right now, but don't say your name. If you wear your feelings on your shirt, on your wrist, and then you lay your arm out in the middle of the floor to see if somebody will step on it to hurt your feelings, that's not love. That's someone who's looking to be offended, because then I can say it's your fault. No. As soon as you say to someone else it's your fault, your faith will no longer work, because faith can't work blaming somebody else.
Amen.
Well, it was my mama. It was my daddy. It was my brother. Didn't you know that guy talked about me? What are you doing? You're blaming someone else. And in the blame game, you can't operate in faith. Wait, listen. They may have done you very wrong. I met that one young lady that one time. I offered to pray for her, and she said, no, snap, no. I'm like, whoa. Never had. That was the first time I ever had anybody say, no, you can't pray for me like that. And as I walked out of that business, she told me why. She'd been raped almost every day of her childhood life by her dad or one of his brothers. Her uncles were raping her. I'm going to tell you right now, that's a horrible situation. That's not easy to get over. Say it with me. But God, I looked at her and said, I'm going to tell you something. Well, her statement was, why would I trust a God who did not hear my prayers when I was a helpless child trying to get myself out of that situation? And I said, hold it, young lady. God didn't fail you. He heard every one of your prayers and spoke to every intelligent adult around you, and all of those people failed you. He didn't fail you. The next day I saw her. You know what she said? You were right. Thank you. I'm going to protect my children, pray over them every day. Thank you. You helped me understand the situation last night. What was it? One moment with truth transformed her life forever. Now watch. Ready? Verse 5. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter. This is really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Love is a safe place of shelter. For it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat. It never gives up. Perfect love never stops loving. It extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. Look at verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters. For I saw things like a child, and I reasoned like a child. But the day came when I matured, I set aside my childish way. That's good reading, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries, as though reflected in a mirror. But one day, we will see face to face. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will have understanding. I lost my place. I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. 13. Until then, there are three things that remain. Faith, hope, and love. And yet love surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. That is a powerful set of verses.
Yes, it is.
Right there. If you can't copy and paste them out of the comments here, make sure you go get them. And for some of you, I would recommend you read this every day.
Yes.
If you're dealing with a very severely incorrigible person, you're going to have to read the Word of God to get past them. Because when you stand before Jesus, remember, he's not going to ask you about anybody else. He's going to ask you about what you did with him on the inside. Say this with me. He made me a new creation when I didn't deserve it. Amen? Say this. He gave me life when my life caused him to die. Yeah. Ready? He gave me hope when despair is what killed him. See, the reason why we can get over all this so simply with Jesus is all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And none of us have done anything to deserve his mercy and his grace. He gave it to us if we would just receive it from him. If we would just receive it from him. It's one of those statements as a pastor that you have to help many people get by. And they'll say, yeah, but pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Let's just pause for a minute. What did you do to Jesus to cause him to go to the cross? Because all of a sudden, the other person's sin, no matter how wicked, horrible, evil, vile it is, it's not worth you ruining your life with the bile of unforgiveness on the inside. It's not worth that. It's not walking around on eggshells everywhere you go. It's not worth that. It's not worth living a life of, oh, I'm sorry, please forgive me, please forgive me, and you just forgive your way into nothing. No. Love deals with the issues. Love looks at a person at each other and says, wait, let's come to a point of reconciliation. I'm willing to change. Please be willing to change. Amen? What verse are we going to next, Pastor? I need something else. These verses have just helped me see myself. Well, that's what we always got to do is see ourselves. Because the only thing that ever stops you is the limitation that's been built inside of you down in here by life from some force outside of you. The question somebody asked me the other night about divorce. Hold on just a second. Everybody just hold on a second. If you would. Please just be patient, would you? Let me just pull up this. Let me just pull up this question real quick, because it was a really good question. Listen to this question. The woman had five husbands. Was she divorced four times? Or married to five different men? If she was divorced, was she still looked down upon for being married five different times? That's an interesting statement, isn't it? if this is the case, are divorced people looked down upon and still considered married to our previous husband or wife? Or if the circumstances were abusive, etc., are we considered divorced and the marriage casted away? Well, let's go grab a verse from Jesus. How about we go to the Bible and get an answer for that question? Does anybody want to go to the Bible?
Yep.
Somebody just sing, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I'll read and pray and then obey the B-I-B-L-E. Brother Mike shows up with ladders, chocolate, and roses. First post. Hallelujah.
He actually did for a minute there.
Mike, I not only needed that, I needed you to come in with an Apache and a skyhook to help me, bro.
He was falling for you.
Now, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verse 5, and we'll answer this question right here. I lost you. Does anybody know where you guys are?
I just heard you in the game.
Well, we've been talking about getting along with each other here, so you never know. Let's go. This is Jesus talking about marriage and divorce. Somebody say, I trust Jesus.
I trust Jesus.
I trust Jesus too. All right? So, Mark chapter 10, verse 1. He arose from there and came to the region of Judea on the other side of Jordan. Multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. Say this with me. Jesus' life was all about teaching. It was all about discipleship. Certainly, he cast out a lot of demons, healed the sick, raised the dead. He did all that stuff. But his whole ministry was teaching them so they would no longer be sheep wandering without a shepherd. All right? 2, Pharisees came and asking, Sir, the great sparrow's a question for you today. Ever notice those religious people sound really religious? Oh, you know. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? That's an interesting statement. Pause for a minute and look up here. Jesus said, all of the law and all of the prophets are stored up and wrapped up in these two commandments. What are they? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and all of the prophets are fulfilled in those two commandments. Well, let's see what the Pharisees said. Well, you know, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate. It's trying to sound weird, but I'm not good at it, so... permitted them to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. Whenever you have a divorce situation, somebody's got a hard heart. Wait, I didn't say it. Jesus Christ of Nazareth said it. If you are divorced, that doesn't necessarily mean it was you that had the hard heart. You might have been somebody the whole time trying to say, we can fix this, we can fix this, we can fix this, we can fix it. Somebody fly an airplane over, we can fix this. Look at what Jesus said. because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. And literally, in the, I think it's the King James says, let no man tear asunder. Because that's literally what divorce is a tearing asunder. And you, and I've talked to a lot of people throughout my life, and some people literally feel the physical effects of the tearing asunder.
In their
body. They feel that force of being torn apart. Now, there's some people, they only got married to have legal sex. They never loved each other. They never had any desire to be together. And so guess what? It's no big deal. They just go on and it's no big deal. So to answer the questions about that lady, I mean, I don't know all the details of that lady's life, so I can't effectively answer was she scorned or the rest of it. But anybody who's been married more than once is going to have someone look and say, well, what about this? Somebody been married twice, they're going to say, well, I mean, you're batting 50% here. What's going on? Somebody that's been married three times. No, wait, there's no shame on any of you who are there. And remember what Jesus said to the lady that was brought to them caught in adultery. Remember what he said? He said, woman, where's your accusers? And where were they? Nowhere to be seen. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Does divorce bring shame? Yeah. Yeah, it does. Does divorce bring sorrow? Yeah, it does. Does it bring despair to a certain degree? Yeah, it does. There's no way around it. Yeah. Yeah. So here's the idea, guys. We've got to, if you've been divorced, and please don't tell us how many times you've been divorced. That's not important to anybody here. All right. But the reality is, let's say a couple things. Number one, divorce happens one day and don't spend the rest of your life being a divorcee. Because then it begins to become a badge of pride, or I don't know how somebody be proud of it, but there's some people be like, well, I divorced that sucker, look at that.
It becomes a label on someone that shouldn't be.
Yeah, it becomes a label, and you don't need that label. So if that's happened to you, there's nothing else to do except say, I am going to change me by the power of God, and I am going to make this marriage I am in, if you're in one, work, or if you're not, then say this about yourself. I am fixing me before I get involved with any other person. I'm fixing me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Because here's the problem in any situation where there's a divorce. There was people in the situation that were not whole on the inside and began to say and do things to each other that was not of God. And they're not even of intelligence or wisdom. And they begin to do things and hurt people and say things. And then the whole thing just blows to pieces like a bomb.
Yeah.
And remember, once you say words, they can never be pulled back. You can go on and live a wonderful life. But once you've said words, those words are going to get stuck inside them. And here's the interesting thing about God. God does not give you and I the ability to walk up to somebody and say, excuse me, I'm going to pull them words out of you, and then you reach out and pull out an arrow, and then they're all better.
Yeah.
The only way you can take words out of somebody else's ears that you have said something mean, harsh, judgmental to, is you start condemning those words out of your own mouth so that they have the ability to get free in their life. Can I get an amen for me? Brother Mike said, after he wrote on the ground, he wrote I believe he wrote, who among you hasn't committed this very sin? They scattered like cockroaches. I think it was Lester Summerall said he thought that Jesus knelt down and wrote the names of the women that they all did.
Yeah, well, and not only that, who was, where's the guy that she was with? She didn't commit adultery by herself,
and how did they know she was committing it except somebody laid a trap? Because they wanted to get Jesus. I was proud to live through it, but that was all. Here's the point of this whole... oh, no, that was Summerall or Osteen or somebody, but I like it too because... Something caused them boys to hightail it real quick. And they probably already had stones in their hand and probably dropped them very quickly as they walked away from Jesus thinking, oh, Lord, he's the guy that said even the rocks will cry out. I might stone on the way home. Now watch. Watch this. Where's my verse? Somebody help me get focused. Everybody say, Pastor, focus. All right. Now, here's why I'm very, very focused on this right now, and I can feel like that. I don't feel like I know God is helping me to stay on this to help some of us really get free. Because
yeah.
Here's the deal. We said it the other night. We said it the first night, and we're still saying it. All right. Everybody just give me a second. Sometimes let thee throw the first stone who's not sin. I think that's how it goes. Well, amen. That's how it goes. Now watch. I'm fixing this. Help me, Jesus. Now, we said this the first night. There is nothing you can do to change a day that has happened somewhere before you.
Right.
You can't change it. So you got divorced once. What are you going to do? The farther away from the situation, the more impossible it is to change. I have a friend who owns a dairy farm. He made a very powerful statement to me once about divorced people or people who are starting to go that way in their relationship. He said, when I take a calf away from the cow, that calf bawls and squalls, and that separation is severe. But the day will come when neither of them will need each other if you separate far enough away. And I thought, man, that's a pretty good picture of divorce right there.
Sure.
Especially for two people who at one point in their life loved each other. Now, the whole point of this message and all of these messages is this simple. You cannot change what happened yesterday. The only reality you can live in is the one you're in right now. It's the only thing you can do effectively. And in these situations of offense, where people are really seriously offended at one another, there's only one way you're going to solve it, and that's you're going to have to talk about it. And here's the problem as a Christian, as a believer, if you're not willing to deal with the other person and let them be who they are and you be who you are, and both of you change, somebody's going to sin in the situation. And then when you sin, Jesus said, treat him like an unbeliever. But Mike Rowe, I cast you out, spirit of lust. You can't cast me out. We fellowship every week. Forget who that was. Doesn't matter who fellowshiped with it and who witnessed it. I'm totally lost in the lag somewhere. Where in the lag am I? I'm pretty sure that has to do with the lady that was being to be stoned. I would think that that's what it is. Hey, Mike, swing again, man. That way I can get the revelation of it. No, really, really very focused, guys, very focused. I want you to see this. Bottom line is we got to get us fixed. Yeah. Say it. No matter what the relationship. No matter what the relationship.
Oh, you want me to echo you?
Yes.
No matter what the relationship is.
I got to fix me.
I got to fix me.
If it's your husband or your wife?
If it's your husband or your wife.
If it's me and my kids?
If it's me and my kids.
If it's you and a sibling?
If it's you and a sibling.
If it's trying to get away from Bertha Bucket Mom? Or Larry Loose Lips. You got to fix you.
You got to fix you.
Because you can't fix the other person. Now, when it comes to reconciliation, you have to let the other person be able to be fixed. And you can't judge them for being wrong. You've got to say, I am with you, and I'm going to help you be reconciled to God. Made sense when I typed it. Somebody tried to cast a demon out. Demon said, oh, yeah, you can't cast me out. We felt, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's a good story. I was missing it, but listen, that's the story of a preacher who was standing on the pulpit, and there was a bunch of people that were going to get free from demons or whatever. He laid hands on a guy and they said, what you got? He said, I have the spirit of lust. And he said, I command you to come out. And the demon spoke right out of the guy to the preacher and said, I'm not coming out for you. You fellowship with me every day.
Wow.
That doesn't need, that needs the big kettle drum. Yeah, that's good, Mike. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit, right? Say it with me. I am learning how to do this right now. Here's the cool thing, guys. It doesn't matter to me or God how many times we talk about this. What God wants and what we want is for you to be free in every area of your life and be unoffendable so that we can truly live like Jesus said, live above offense. Say it with me again. I am a minister of reconciliation.
I'm a minister of reconciliation.
That means when you, in any of the situations you're in, once you learn who you are the one that's always going to be the forgiver. It's no big deal. Let's talk. But wait, if there's going to be resolution, there has to be conversation. The only way to reconciliation is conversation. Can't happen any other way. Because if you can't, you got to reconcile what's in here with that other person. It might be a short conversation of, I forgive you, I forgive you. You said this, what did that mean? Well, when I said that, I meant this, 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 and this. Oh, that's what you were trying to say. And usually the reality is, look at Wilma. She's already got me into my next set of verses. Oh. I was going to say, how'd you know where I was going?
She said,
Pastor, I've been around you enough already. I know where we're going next. Here you go. Next set of verses, everyone. We're serious about getting us the help that we need. You ready? Luke 17. And we're going to go 1 through 6. Luke 17:1-6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke 17:1-6. Watch this. Brother Dan Cottle, thank you for watching. It just pops up every now and then. It reminds me, Dan Cottle is watching. All right, well, how you doing, Dan? Good to have you with us tonight. I don't know why it does that, but every now and then, some of you, it'll just pop you up. And well, there it is. Phyllis K. Raymond is watching. Well, Phyllis K. Raymond, thank you for watching. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 17. Watch this. He said to the disciples, offenses are coming. You can't stop them. But woe to him by whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he'd take a long walk off a short pier with a heavy stone in deep water. That's the Cottle paraphrase. Verse number 3. Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. And the disciples said, oh, my Lord, increase our faith. He said to them, if you have faith, a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain or the mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be cast into the sea, and it would obey you. Forgiveness is a seed. Grace is a seed. Love is a seed. You have it inside of you. Sow it. Reconciliation is a seed. Sow it. Look at what Jesus is saying. If you have faith as a seed, sow that seed. Now, you ready? I'm going to give you these cautions one more time again because I'm going to keep saying it till we get it nailed down of how to win this thing with incorrigible people in your life. You can't make everybody like you. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus did not say, when you do to others what you want them to do to you, they will always do it. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, you do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, the closer those people are to you, related to you, the more important it's going to be to put them in the right place and keep them in the right place and sow the seed of love. And then most of all, go to prayer. Many people have tried to solve deep offenses with too much conversation, when what they needed to solve it with is the prayer language of the Spirit, and pray for them in the Spirit, intercede for them that God would reveal to them an infallible proof that would help them see what's going on. And then their lives can change because God will always manifest himself and show us exactly what to do. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
See, Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And it doesn't matter if they don't know the truth. God is always going to help you come to the truth because he's concerned about you. Now, he's concerned about the other person in the offense situation, but have you noticed he doesn't give you the right to change them? They have to change themselves. The more important those people are in your life, the bigger the offense has the possibility of being. The number one person that many people are offended at is their pastor. Well, he looked right at me when he said that. We got to look at somebody. I like it. I like what I'm doing now because I ain't looking at, well, I'm looking at all of you, but I can't see you.
I'm at me and I see those looks you keep giving me.
I'm going to start calling some of you out. Hey, that's the fourth time at the refrigerator. What are you doing over there? Hey, want that last brownie. Don't you eat it. Bring it to me. No, see, Jesus said offenses are coming. You cannot live your life in this world and be in a position where offense will never come to you. That isn't going to happen. There will always be somebody. Jesus just said it. The Christ, Jesus the Christ said, offenses are coming. You be ready for them and don't let them get on the inside of you. Amen? Say this with me. They don't get inside.
They don't get inside.
Now, as soon as you and I learn to keep the offensive statement on the outside, and pizza run.
Yay!
I want my pizza to have, what's that one called over here, pizza pie?
Oh, the fat Hawaiian.
Oh, get me the fat Hawaiian back out. That's what I want. I want the fat Hawaiian. It's a pizza pie, and it's got pizza sauce and cheese and ham and pineapple and
bacon
and jalapenos.
Yeah.
Delicious. It's about that big. It takes me about 3 days to eat it. Now, watch this. God is always working on you. He always is. And
if,
because he's got his work cut out for him. If you're offended at a former pastor, figure out why. Because you can't have that stopping you. Here's a poll for everyone. How many of you believe that pineapple belongs on pizza?
No.
Pineapple belongs on pizza. Yes, it does. There's one vote for yes. Amen. Pineapple belongs on pizza. Hallelujah. All right. Now, here's the reality. Pineapple don't go on pizza. Jalapeno is good. See, look at look at how it is. Here comes Wilma. I love pineapple on pizza.
You and Pastor.
Watch this. We're going to be cut 50-50 right down through the middle. Pineapple, what's wrong with you people? Here we go. Here's our first opportunity to get over a fence. He puts pineapple on his pizza. Can you believe he does such a thing? I love it. Wait. Do you know what this is? This is a perfect example. Hawaiian pizza, ham and pineapple. Come on, fellas, Cam Raymond. I'm seeing who my friends are right now. I can tell right now who my friends are. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, what did it ever do to you? Wait, I want you to see, this is exactly how offense is built. Pineapple don't belong on pizza. Oh, Wilma, I like mango on pizza as well.
Really?
Wilma, Tony, no wonder we love you so much. Sunday Geyser comes in with pineapple don't belong on pizza. Brother Roger Oxley, what do you say? Julie and Ray and Kai, we need you to chime in and make a vote. Wait, where's Velma? Velma, do you believe that pineapple belongs on pizza? Now, here's the revelation, guys. This is nothing to divide a family over, is it? So she stares at me like, let me just talk to you for a minute.
No, because our Father is God, so he'll get us both.
No.
Yes, really?
Julian and Mamala, definitely. Come on. Come on. Wait. I think Pineapple Belonging has got it outnumbered tonight, so I'm sorry about all your stuff, but I mean, really. Velma has good taste. She wouldn't put pineapple on the pizza. I love pineapple on pizza. But wait, see how simple and fun this is? But being in the ministry now and being around the church for all of these years, this is what separates some families right here. Something this simple. Why? Because something like this is said, and when it's said, somebody gets offended, somebody runs off offended, somebody goes over there the other way. Pineapple, yes. Look at Dan Kyle coming in with pineapple. Come on, man.
Dan too?
Dan too, amen.
Pizza traitor.
Oh,
my goodness.
I like pineapple with ham on pizza. Gwen Cottle comes through. Woo! We won. We won. Oh, you other little rascals, put some ham and pineapple on your pizza.
Oh, my goodness.
Come on. I love it. This is what makes us strong. Amen. Is pineapple on pizza. Wait, I got to count them now. 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 4. I'm going to count Velma twice. 5. Julie Nenvamala, 6. Come on. Wilma, 7. Come on. Come on.
Okay, so then there's me and Sunday and Mike.
And that's it. You got
Rebecca. No.
You got Becca.
Phyllis.
Wait, Ashley didn't make it. She didn't make a statement, though, about it. But she's all pineapple and ham. Come on. You make it for Easter. Pineapple and ham. Why wouldn't you put it on your pizza? Pineapple, green pepper, onion on pizza. Julie Rouse. Wait, is that you and Ray or just you? For the record, I have had pizza with pumpkin many times.
Oh, my. Husband, yes. Son-in-law, no. Oh, my.
Now, Brother Mike got really bold there a minute ago, all right? I had pizza with pumpkin. Oh, with pumpkin. I got it many times. And pineapple was never a thing. Next time I go down there and figure out a name for this oppression, I'll cast this hardship plum out of Wilkesboro.
Yeah, one is dessert and one is dinner.
Wait. Ham and pineapple on Easter, you put them in the same pan and cook them together. Wait. Oh, hey, thanks a lot, Becca. It's your problem that we all got started on this because you're going for pizza right now. Can't you see how this all worked out? Wait, say this with me. Thank God for a good family.
Thank God for good family.
Thank God for good fun. Amen?
Amen.
And how many of you are now going to order a pizza? It might be too late in your town, but it's not too late in our town, and it'll be here by the time I get done. It'll have fresh pizza sitting out here with ham and pepperoni and pineapple on it.
Question, how many of you went to have ice cream last night after Pastor said he was?
Did anybody get ice cream last night? Because I got a banana split, man. It was awesome. We made it all the way there. Uh-oh, Joy likes pineapple too. See, there we go. We've won. This scale is so tipped in the side of wisdom. Woo! I'm so glad I got good people with me. Wait, we didn't hear from Teresa Dowd or Audrey Van Gessel. What do you think, Audrey? Tell us. Brother Al Barton, where are you at tonight? Father, we bless Brother Al wherever he is. May he be somewhere eating a pizza with pineapple and ham. Think we're going to explore the rolled ice cream joint this weekend. Woo! The only thing I eat with pineapple is with cake. I cast the oppression out of joy, too. <I'm scared>. What? Jesus is in heaven saying, man, we almost had him free from divorce and offense, and then somebody had to go for pizza. Wait. We're sending Becca out for pizza like David's dad sent him to see the boys. While you're out there, Becca, kill that big giant when you get the pizza, sister. We love you. God bless you. Amen.
Rolled ice cream? What's that?
Rebecca, I'm really not trying to test you, ma'am, at all. I've been trying to be quiet about food so you didn't have any temptations. And all these guys have been talking about all this delicious food. See, it's all their fault. Did you see that?
So can you have, like, frozen yogurt?
Hey, I bind pineapple on pizza and lose conversation.
Amen, brother. Amen.
I lose pineapple on pizza. I loose pineapple rolled up in dough with cinnamon and sugar like a big cinnamon roll. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
We brought out the Pentecostal
preacher. We brought out the Pentecostal preacher in bed.
Bologna, Samuel. Oh, my goodness.
Woo! Aren't you glad that the Father likes us to laugh right in the middle of a really serious message? It's all your fault, Ashley. It's all your fault. See, everybody from now on can blame Ashley. It's her fault. Wait, knowledge is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Common sense is not putting fruit in a salad. The same could be said for putting pineapple on pizza, says Jim.
Oh my God. So you brought it home to us again.
Right. So many comments, but I don't want future viewers to see it as a way out of order. Just a little out of order is acceptable in the back view. No, you know what's interesting? Is these are the very things that people get offended over. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, I ain't never going to be offended. I'll buy a pizza for him and a pizza for me. And that's usually what we end up doing.
Yeah.
We end up doing it like that. I mean, since I have eaten Leanne's carrying pizzas with her, I've begun to enjoy them. And I like vegetables on mine, but I also like fruit. I don't know why she don't like apple on her pizzas.
She don't.
But she'll eat apple inside of her salad. Oh, anyways. No, see, the idea is we got to give room for one another. And that's okay if you like it. And here's the revelation that all of us got to receive in this. Everybody, learn to be the minister of reconciliation. Now, all of this talk is just fun. Although, Velma and Joy, if Mike shows up, I wouldn't put it past him to try to cast out the pineapple off of it, right? He might tell him, just go ahead and order it. Watch this when you sit it on the table. I bind you. Get off of there, pineapple.
Oh, no mushrooms
at all? Okay, we got to get off the question before we get some serious offense going here. Now you're talking love, fruit, in my salad. Hey, there you go. Try, I will succeed. No, don't you eat that pizza yet. I'm getting a pineapple out there. Father, help us. Help us to be this willing to laugh and enjoy life about every subject. Yeah. Some things in life get real serious. If you got one spouse that's a spender and has all the credit cards right to the max, that ain't good. Somebody's going to be offended at that, right? You got one that's always mouthy and doesn't know how to control your own mouth? Let me just help you with this. I counseled a person one time who literally said to me, long time ago, who literally said to me, I was always told to shut up as a kid. And no one will ever tell me to shut up another day of my life. I'm an adult. And so every conversation where they had to come to a mutual agreement, that person would literally look at their spouse and say, don't tell me to shut up. And it would go right into intensity immediately.
Wow.
My daughter's concoction is borderline pizza blasphemy. Alfredo sauce, three cheese blend with chicken and jalapenos.
Yeah, that's not pizza. That's a whole different dish.
That's a very interesting dish, but it sounds like it might be pretty good.
But it's not pizza.
Well, I didn't say you had to call it pizza, but it's good. See, here we go.
Maybe.
Can you make it as soon as we're done? I just cooked up steak, mushrooms, and onions for supper tonight. Now, there you go. Did you put pineapple in it?
All over my pizza. Poor Becky can't enjoy your pizza now.
Now watch. That man literally said he was told to shut up all of his life. And he said, I'll never have a woman ever tell me again to shut my mouth and not speak. Now what happens? He was still dealing with a horrible offense from his mom who told him to shut up all of his life. I know the same thing about women with their dad. I know so many men who believe that women ought to just sit there and be silent while they're speaking. And no, don't think for yourself. If you was raised with somebody like that, when you get into a marriage, you're going to have trouble dealing with the fact that everybody in a marriage needs to be able to function together properly, because that's the assignment of Almighty God. So, here we go. Say it with me. God help me.
God help me.
Be real in all situations.
Be real in all situations.
You can always have pineapple on the side.
Yeah, there you go, Phyllis. There's a resolution for all of us.
Sister Phyllis comes through as a minister of reconciliation. Get your pineapple, put on the side of the pizza where you can deal with it yourself whenever you want. But it doesn't taste as good as if it was cooked right in the middle of it. Let's see. Does anybody know what verse I'm looking for?
Not at all.
It's the verse in Peter. Heirs of the grace of life. Somebody help me find it. Heirs. There it is. 1 Peter 3:7. Rebecca, I'm very independent. I am my own man. Help her, Jesus, to realize she's a woman. Help her, Lord, right now. Help her. Yeah.
There's no mistaking it, Rebecca.
Yeah, I'm not good at just sitting there and looking pretty. Well, can you see? Can you see where these statements take us to and what they end up doing in marriage relationships? Now watch. 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wives with understanding, giving honor to the wife. How many men have failed in that process? This would be a good time, ladies, for all of you to just be quiet and let the men hear.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait. The one lady said submitting to her husband was ducking low enough the Holy Spirit could hit him right between the eyes.
Yeah. There you go.
Watch this. Giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, what's the point here, Pastor? Your prayers will be hindered as a man if you're not treating your wife as an heir to the grace of life, which means you're going to have to get all that male chauvinistic conversation out of your mouth and learn to bring the heir of God up out of your wife and let her be that person. That makes sense how I said that? Pastor, you said my wife has hair on the inside of her? No, air, H-E-I-R. See, many times men have said, I'm the man, you're the woman. I lead, you follow. I talk, you listen. No, find that in this Bible where it worked right for them. Now, I'm out of word for you, husbands. You are going to stand accountable to God Almighty for what happens in your family. But do you see what that verse said? As an heir to the grace of life. That means you're an heir and she's an heir. And which of the heirs is more important than the other? It's not about a level of importance. It's not about who gets to talk and who doesn't. It's about who's going to stand before God accountable for the leadership of the family. But wait, you can't be an effective leader if you ain't going to listen. Mm-hmm. And they can't be an effective follower if they can't ask a question without it being a tirade about why you asking me a question, woman. Can we go back to the pizza and the pineapple talk for a minute, please? Well, wait. This is the reality about where this is really at. And there's a whole bunch of men that have caused the women to become feminists. Why? Because they treated them like second-class citizens. And they ain't. Wait, listen. You ready? Here's a good solution. If your father will listen, your father God will listen to that woman's prayer, the same level he's going to listen to yours, then all y'all men better realize she's a joint heir with Jesus. And if I mess with her, I'm going to face Jesus face up. He's going to protect his daughter, his sister. Women, if that man can talk to God just like you can, and he's going to talk to both of us as joint heirs with Jesus. Guess what we got to do? Boom! I mean, no, we got another day. We got to talk about this subject probably. I'm not good at men leading me. I feel like I'm supposed to follow God. I have an opinion, and it deserves to be heard. Now, it is now 9:28. And as much as we got to keep going and talk about this some more, I want to do it on the other side of communion so some people can receive communion and go to sleep that might want to be doing that. However, I will stay and talk if you want to talk some more. It's Friday night. Where are you going tomorrow? This is early enough. You were just getting your red dress on, baby. Now, add some bell pepper to that, and you'll have a winner. Velma, we love you. Audrey, we love you. We love you guys. Thanks for being with us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Watch this. It is a proven fact. It is a proven that women usually speak twice as many words as men. Now watch. Men are the headlines. Women are the fine print. I love it here too. Thank you. Thank you, Ashley. And here comes the ladders. Brother Mike, I don't know if you've seen this yet, but the ladders that you send to me on my computer are extension ladders. The ladder you send on my phone is
a step ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. So I appreciate every time you send me ladders, I get both sides. It doesn't matter. I get whatever I need. All right. Now. This. Shannon says women speak twice as much because we don't listen the first time.
Oh, that was a good one.
Wait. Everybody, please pray for Brother Mike and Sister Shannon. Father, in the name of Jesus. Wait, come on, use your best monk voice. Dr. Edwin Lewis Cole has one of the best statements about men and women. And he made this statement. He said, I have a ministry for men to women. Is that right? Is that how he said it? No. He said, I have a ministry for women to men. Because he said, if I make a man, the woman will have the greatest life she could ever have. Now watch, because I gotta circle the wagons here. No matter how many ladders, no matter how many roses and chocolates you send me, we still gotta circle the wagons and get to communion. And somebody order some pizza with some pineapple on it. All right. We already had pizza tonight and it didn't have any pineapple. Can you believe it? Now I don't want to be offended. Amen. What was I trying to just say?
I'm not sure. We got lost in the pizza.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, and Ashley
circled
the wagon.
Yeah. Yeah. And what were you saying? I was going to be there? Yeah, you had a big O there, love. What was it?
Ash was saying that she had things to say. It didn't feel right being led by a man. She should follow her.
Right. Right. But see, when we realize, I truly believe that this level of revelation that God has given us this last month about the ministry of reconciliation, when we both come to the understanding, I am a minister of reconciliation, and so is my wife, that's going to stop a whole lot of arguments, because that means that God is standing on both sides of the discussion, helping both people be a minister of reconciliation. Yeah. Now all of a sudden, we've got to look at it, and we can no longer say, well, I'm the man and you're the woman. I'm going to say something and you're going to listen. It's not that. The bottom line is, now that we're both believers and we're both ministers of reconciliation, that means both of us have to be listening to the voice of the Father at the same time while we're trying to reconcile things.
Amen.
And that means nobody gets to check out of the conversation, and that means nobody gets to say more in the conversation than the other, because we're ministers of reconciliation with the Father in heaven, having one goal for the whole conversation, reconciliation and understanding. Thank you, Lord, for the good word tonight. Wait, I'm going to make my three statements one more time. The number one characteristic of any successful Christian is a teachable spirit. You got to be willing to be taught. No matter how many times you apologize, you cannot apologize to someone else into deliverance. And he who's convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And Sister Becca said, I have to change me no matter what anybody else is doing. What was it Dan said this morning? Hey, Dan, what was your comment this morning? It was a really good comment. Amen. Grow who you are.
Yes, that was it. Yeah.
That's a good comment. We were talking about written in our DNA is who we are. Amen. What's going to come out of this series of teaching that we're doing right now is we're going to have to get into the Bible and really realize what reconciliation is all about. Because there's no way for you and I, there's no way at all for you and I to sit in a conversation and be offended in anybody. Can't do it. You cannot do it. Why? Because the Father, it's like, let's just use Leanne and I. The Father is in her talking to her. And the Father is in me talking to me. Therefore, it's impossible for that to go wrong unless, of course, one person's got their lips flapping and won't stop flapping them. And now it's impossible for it to go right because you got too many flapping lips. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, thank you for all of these people, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful joy. Apostle Paul said, may you be filled with all joy. No, with all hope. And peace in believing, or joy anyways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Help us, Lord, to change us. Because never again will a relationship fall apart because of us. Never again. Because we'll have them where they belong, and we'll keep us where we belong. And our hearts will be free from offense. Thank you, Lord, that you promised us we could live a life free from offense.
Amen.
And we love it so much. Filled with your righteousness, filled with your love and your joy and your peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, that rules our hearts and our minds in you, Jesus. We give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. For as often, in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, and as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work until he comes. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this. I love this. Say it. I got perfect love.
I got perfect love.
And what is it? That you may have boldness in the day of judgment. Well, what else is offense except you're being judged by somebody unjustly? Remind me to tell you about what my mom told me today. It's really good.
All right.
Because as he is, so are we in this earth. Verse 18, perfect love casts out fear and the torment that goes with it, because there is no fear in love. Say it with me.
There's no fear
in the communion service. Mm-hmm. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, everybody, remind me, as soon as communion is over, somebody type it in a comment. The difference between persecution and wrath. This is a different communion service than most people are used to, but that's just what God's given us to do. We call it New Covenant worship. Greatest thing you ever have to do is submit your life to God and receive him in your life. You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn your place in God. There's no level of sacrifice or fasting or prayer or giving money that gets you into the kingdom. Those are all man's doctrine. That's the spirit of religion. There's only one thing you can do, and that is receive him in all of his grace and his mercy and his love. Now watch. We're going to do that in a prayer that takes about 2 minutes. And we invite every one of you, those that have been with us throughout the time and those that are joining us at a later time, and you've enjoyed this message, and now you're going to receive communion with us. Pray this prayer with me. And if you mean it from the depths of your heart, when you're finished, you'll be ready for communion in your life. Are you ready? Pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
In every way.
In every way.
And according to the book of John.
And according to the book of John.
Jesus is the door to salvation.
Jesus is the door to salvation.
And I enter in through him.
And I enter in through him.
Jesus, I believe in you.
Jesus, I believe in you.
And I receive you in my life right now.
And I receive you in my life right now.
And according to John chapter 1.
And according to John chapter 1.
The word of God declares.
The word of God declares.
You make me a child of God.
You make me a child of God.
And I receive
you. And I receive you.
I'm now a child of God.
I am now a child of God.
Ready? Do this. Put like a big old snowball. Say, there's all my sin.
There's all my sin.
Dump it out. Say, I don't have any ability to beat it.
I don't have any ability.
In my own flesh.
In my
Now put your hands up and say, I receive all of your righteousness.
I receive all of your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
May every person receive this manifestation, Jesus. Pray this, fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy
so
Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in
understand
power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word
pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God, beloved. This is us. This is who we are. We are the body. Woo! We're glad to have you with us. You just made the greatest decision of your life to pray the prayer of salvation and to be infilled with the Holy Spirit of God all in one prayer. In that one prayer, you went from darkness to light. You should have experienced it. You went from fear to faith. You should have experienced it. I love this part. You went from your sins, which no human can beat on their own, to Jesus' righteousness, and the only way you get it is you receive. And now you're filled with his righteousness. And in the middle of the whole process, the Father said, and adopt him as my child and make him a minister of reconciliation. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. In Jesus' mighty name. All that just happened to you. Because you simply said, Jesus, I receive you in my life. How cool is that? They put my email address and website in there, so you have the ability to get in contact with us. I'm glad about that. I've got 10 verses I want to send you to help you walk with God. I want to help you walk with God. And I will. And I thank you for being a part. You send me an email, I send you one. Tell me your story. Ask me a question. Any of the above. Why? Because that is my place in God. And that's what we do every day, all day long, every single day of our life is to help you walk with God. Is our place in him. Now, you're ready to receive communion. So get you some communion elements. Even if you've been to a church that says you can't take communion unless there's a bishop present. Well, I've never been called bishop, but I probably qualify. I've never been called apostle. Well, I guess I have. And I've been called a prophet and a pastor and a teacher. And guess what? None of it matters. Because Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Ready? Hold these elements up. We'll bless them in Jesus' name. Pray this with me. Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus'
I
name,
bless these elements
I bless these
for this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised.
You were bruised.
For my iniquity.
For my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is on you, Lord.
Is on you.
And
Lord.
By your stripes.
And by your stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotion.
In my mind.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing
every
broken.
Joint supply.
Every joint supply.
In my body.
In my body.
From your body, Jesus.
From your body. Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in
and
my
right
community.
Here on this community of faith.
And right here on this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Let's receive his broken body together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this with me. By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force.
The most powerful cleansing
on the face of this earth.
On the face of this earth.
I have been redeemed.
I have been redeemed.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I have reconciliation.
I have reconciliation.
With you, my Father.
With you, my Father.
Every sin is placed in remission.
Every sin is placed in remission.
In my life.
In my life.
I'm a new creation.
All
things have passed away.
All things have passed away.
And all things have become new.
And all things have become new.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague.
Every plague.
Has to pass over.
Has to pass.
And over. Cannot be on me or my family.
And cannot be on me or my family.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
I come boldly.
I come
to the throne room of grace.
To the throne room.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
Where I find grace, mercy, and help.
For my assignment every day.
For my assignment every day.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
And the word of my testimony.
The word of my testimony.
I overcome.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The accuser of the brethren.
The accuser of the brethren.
Is cast down forever.
Is cast down forever.
And there's no more condemnation.
And there's no condemnation.
My conscience is purged.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And I will always be.
The glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot or wrinkle.
Without spot or wrinkle.
Or any other blemish.
Or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for
in
me.
In Jesus' mighty
in
name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let's receive the spilled blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful blood of Jesus. Mighty name. Let's sing our song. I want to sing that one we played earlier today. I am cleansed, I am washed, I am sanctified. I am Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. I am blessed, Father, for all of time. Jesus, my Savior's alive. Well, we'll study that one a little bit more until we get it memorized, all right? Wow. Let's sing our song about the blood. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. And it flows to the lowest valley. Blood that gives strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Now, that's pretty good, Phyllis. The most important time in my life. It's when I'm in the presence of my Father, the God of love. That's a powerful thing. Here's the things, guys. He loves you. And he loves me. And he loves that person you're having trouble with. All right? Now, Becca Chapman wrote, in the last few months, I've learned so much and come to realize that without the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I'm no more than a vessel drifting through an ocean of unknown. The Lord has recharged my heart, and I feel the weights of this world lifted off my shoulders. Thank you, Lord, for your love you have given me in sending Sam and Leanne and the family to help me come back to you. Amen. That's good. That's really good.
Wow.
That's really good.
Beautiful.
That's very beautiful. Amen. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for Brother Julian once again. Now, first of all, we give you glory and honor and praise that the healing power of God is alive and well and working in our brother. We thank you that you've healed his thyroid. The nodule's gone. We thank you that there's strength in all of his body. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that the prayer we prayed, we meant, we said it, and it's done in the mighty name of Jesus. And now, cough, we rebuke you.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the cough comes because of something. So we rebuke the source of the cough. And we say all of the organ systems in our brother's body function properly.
Amen.
Right now. Amen. And not only Julian and Bamala, but the body of Christ that they're a part of in that community. We say body and the organ systems of it function properly in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. They are good members of this body. And they function well here. Therefore, they're sowing a good body function. Therefore, their bodies receive the harvest of a good body function right here, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is living inside of our brother and sister in the mighty name of Jesus, producing life from the inside out. All of this man's body function properly.
Amen.
And we give you glory, and we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody shout it.
Amen.
Julian is made whole.
Julian is made whole now in Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Becca, for that beautiful statement you made. That means all the world to us. It really does. It really does. And that's why we're here. That's what we do. And here's the cool thing. What's coming is this is what all y'all are going to do for your friends. You may never go on live like this. Not to say you won't, but don't feel like just because we are, that means you have to. The bottom line is this. God Almighty, by his power, will help you be a minister of reconciliation to everybody you come in contact with. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Now, anybody interested in hearing what my mom was teaching today on the phone call with me about the difference between persecution and wrath?
Yeah.
Now, listen to this. Because in her teaching process right now, she's in the adult Sunday school class at the Nazarene Church where she goes. And she's teaching the book of Revelation. And she said to me today on the phone, she said, I found a really interesting revelation that's come to me as I've been going through it this time. Well, look at there, would you? Now, hold on. Noah was persecuted for being a preacher of righteousness. Everybody listen to this. But he did not suffer the wrath of God. He endured persecution while he preached, while he built. But when the wrath of God was poured out, where was Noah? In the ark above it. Jesus said, what's it going to be like when I come again? It's going to be like the days of Lot. What's Lot got to do? Sodom and Gomorrah was so wicked that God said, I got to go down in my wrath and destroy them two cities. Abraham said, Lord, have mercy on my nephew there, Lot. All right? So God sent an angel in and drug Lot out of the city and said, get up on the mountain where you'll be safe. Lot was persecuted for his faith because the book of Jude says his very soul was vexed by the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. So what is that? That's persecution. But when God's wrath came, God moved Lot up above the wrath, destroyed the city, and then Lot and his daughters came back down. Interesting point of view, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
So God's wrath is reserved for his enemies. He never pours his wrath out on his children. The wrath is for the rebellious and the wicked. Now, you and I will be persecuted for our own sake, for the gospel's sake. Jesus said, blessed are you when you are persecuted, for great is your reward in heaven. So persecution is going to happen. But the worst thing that happens there is they might even kill you. You die and you go to heaven. Wrath, those who died in wrath went straight to hell. Everybody think about it. Those who die under the wrath of God go straight to hell. Ready? Watch. Everybody alive in Noah's day. Everybody in Sodom and Gomorrah. Korah and all of those who refused to went to hell alive for mocking Moses and trying to tear him down as the leader. The wrath of God fell. God said to Moses, tell them, get away from the tents of wickedness. And a bunch of people fled. 20,000 people went to hell alive that day. Under the wrath of God, the earth opened up and swallowed them. So, when the rapture comes, you and I are taken above the wrath. The wrath happens. Those people go straight to hell. And then we're brought back down after the 7 years tribulation. Now, I thought that was really, 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 really good. Really good. Say this with me. His wrath is for his enemies.
His wrath is for his enemies.
And his love and his blessing is for his children.
And his love and his blessing is for his children. Period.
We have an inheritance that fades not away and is incorruptible. He put Jesus on the inside of us and Jesus' righteousness on the inside of us. Why would he, in his wrath, hurt Jesus? He's not. Jesus, one time, paid the price for all sin and the wrath, but he was a righteous person paying for that sin. Therefore, when he hit hell, he was able to come back alive through the power of the Holy Spirit that was living on the inside. Really good, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Don't worry. I'm not teaching another whole series of messages tonight. That's just another quick thought that my mom had today, and I thought it was really good. Simple illustration of why you and I will go in the rapture and not be here during the tribulation.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. Good night, Becca. Good night, Rebecca. Good night, Lebecca. And good night, Tebecca. We got to get all the Beccas, all right? Well, guys, that's all we got until tomorrow night. Remember, tomorrow night's question and answer night. And if you got more questions about offense and dealing with offense, ask them, because tomorrow night would be good. You might have a question about something totally different. One of these Saturday nights, Brother Dwayne Byerly is going to come on, and he's going to have a Saturday night where he teaches about the United States and end time prophecy. And we'll let you know as soon as we can get a date from him on that, when that is going to be. in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive it now. Everybody say this. In Jesus' name, we receive the abundant blessing of God manifested in our life right now and wealth transfer and the blessing of Almighty God. So we can preach the gospel all over the world in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen.
And if everybody or anybody has questions for tomorrow night, it's good if you can like email them or message them to Pastor ahead of time so he can have the verses already in.
Right.
Then we can go through them more quickly. Not that you won't answer them on the spot. But...
That's good. Thanks, Becca. Anybody? Bless you. We love and appreciate you too, Julian and Bamana. It's so good to communicate all the way around the world, just like that. Isn't that amazing? Woo! Everybody, on the count of three, give one more big woo! One, two, three. Woo! Well, until we see you tomorrow at noon, that's what we have to say.
We love you, and God loves you.
And Jesus is
Lord.
Amen. Jesus is Lord. See you guys tomorrow.
Your garden is absolutely beautiful.
Your garden is amazing. What is that on?